Blog Talk Radio. All right, where's that doorman of mine? I don't know. Usually he's right here, right on time. But he's probably very excited because of the guest tonight, and I don't blame him. Hey, this is Madam
General
Fury.
General Quarters, also Security Condition 3.
Oh,
HQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
Okay, intruder doesn't sound quite so friendly, but it's not an intruder. So, but there you are. Anyway, this is Madam Perry Salon. I am your host and cruise director, Jennifer Perry, or Madam Perry, or whatever you wish, however you wish to address me. And I am so psyched to have as my guest tonight this lady. She's a 5C clairvoyant. She also known as a clairvoyant gourmet, which she has a TV show. As the clairvoyant gourmet, her name is Janie Beauclair. Janie, welcome to Madam Perry's Salon.
Hello, Madam. How are you today? So wonderful to be on the show.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm fabulous and delighted to have you here. And there is just so much about you. You know, when I first got to know who you were, and I was checking out stuff about you, and I started finding, oh, you are so beloved. Yeah, you're so talented. But we're gonna get to all the little things I found later. I gotta go step by step. First of all, you are a rare 5C clairvoyant. So what does that mean to the layperson like myself?
Well, most people who do readings for people or who connect use a couple of their senses. They'll use their intuition, or they may have some feeling, some gut feeling, some people call it. With me, I have a variety of senses that become activated when I'm channeling. So I'll be able to smell things like flowers or food. I'll be able to taste different foods that your loved one wants to have you remember. And I feel very much in my stomach, in my chest. So I'll feel if someone wants to convey how they crossed over. If a loved one is trying to figure out, well, we don't even know how they died, a lot of times they'll give me those sensations in my body so I can actually feel it and express to them what that feeling is. And then I see pictures. They'll show me full-color pictures of different locations or an old family photo, something for me to describe so that I can be very accurate and let you know what it is that they're trying to say. So basically, all my senses are just lit up at one time in one session so that I can do a multitude of things and explanations through the senses that I'm receiving. And then in addition to that is definitely the intuition and the just knowing, knowing what they're saying. I hear them clearly. So I'm really blessed with having a variety of senses that all tune in at the same time. They seem to be all on the same page, and therefore I can get some really in-depth, really detailed conversations.
Well, that new to me. I didn't know of a 5C clairvoyant before I met you, and for someone to sense things by smell, I've only maybe heard of that once or twice. So when did you first know that you had this ability or this gift, that you were clairvoyant?
Well, I've been aware of it since I was young. My mom tells me that I was doing readings for all the neighborhood kids when I was like 4, 5, and 6 years old. So apparently it was obvious to her at that point. For me, it was the way I was, so it never seemed unusual that I just knew a lot of things. You know, there was things that I knew. But when I got more into high school age and college age was when I really respected the value of being able to tap in and started to work with it. And so really at that point was the turning point for me where I recognized, wow, I could use this ability for something really good, and not everybody does do this, because in my eyes, everybody was like this. There was no difference. So,
well, you didn't, you know, that was all you knew, that was your normal.
That's all I knew, exactly. Yeah, so some kids at school and when I was in high school started saying to me, you just know things that other people don't know. And they really woke me up to going, I do? You know? So from that point in the college realm was when I really started to notice to what depth I could experience this. And so that's when I really started to dig in a little bit deeper. I investigated on a science level so that I could understand what was actually happening with my brain and in those moments when I channel. And all along, the whole food thing kept coming through. Like every time I would channel with somebody or ask just for my own guidance, I would taste food, or I would taste garlic, or I would smell lavender, or I would smell roses. Just different sensations would come into my scene. And so it really made me aware that, wow, there's like some really cool things happening here with me. I should pay attention to it. So the more I paid attention to it, the stronger I recognized it, the stronger it became. So it was as if I mentally allowed it more as I became aware of it. And now at this point, I did a radio show this afternoon, and the young lady that was the host, she said, explain to me a meal that my mom made. And so I gave, and there was a specific meal she was looking for. And I said, well, my entire mouth tastes like garlic. And she goes, wow, glad I'm not near you. But that's the type of thing that happened. And I could smell a very strong Italian spaghetti sauce with a lot of garlic in it. So I was able to describe her the smells that meal that her mom and grandmother were describing, you know, what the aroma was in that room at the time. And by explaining that to her, it actually brought all kinds of healing and warm memories about special times that she spent with her mom and grandmother in the kitchen. And that was the purpose of them bringing those feelings to me.
Because, you know, it does. Now that I think about it, as you're talking about this, I think about how, yeah, we do associate sometimes, maybe, you know, like we can associate a song. We could hear a song and it could take you back to a certain place. And when we think about certain people and we think about their food, maybe if they, like, say, somebody like your mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, they made a certain dish that you associate with them. And you can just bring it back.
Yeah, it's just like that. And what I was saying to somebody earlier was, you know, when you think of like grandma's chocolate chip cookies and you can literally imagine the smell, right? And it brings me back to you were, you know, 6 or 7 years old standing in the kitchen while she was scooping them out and putting them on the cookie sheet and hands you the spoon to lick it. It brings you back to the whole scene of where you remember that taste and that smell from. So it almost gives you a reconnection to certain time frames in your life that you spent with that individual. And I think that's why they give me those sensations to pass on, because they want to have the person on earth relive the love that happened around the kitchen.
Okay. Now you said it, to relive that love that happened around the kitchen, and that's so perfect. So when you first began, now, did you always do that part too, connecting with people through smells and food, even as a child, or was that something you developed later?
Well, I always had that, but I never really played with it. It just was there. You know what I mean? And I would get it. Like, I remember connecting with my mom's grandmother,
who I never met. But I could taste these cookies that she made, and every time my mom would explain the cookie to me, I'd get the taste in my mouth. But I thought that was just my brain, and that's how brains work. I didn't know that that was something different, you know.
So I definitely got that all the way through. It was just in my, you know, late teens, early 20s that I figured out that not everybody's doing this. not everybody's brain has connected in this realm. So it just didn't become a thing, and I wasn't real aware of it until around then. And so the older that I got, now I just turned 54. So when I was like in my 30s and 40s, I was more like, wow, how can I bring those memories back to people and give them a healing feeling as a result of knowing certain things about, you know, activities that happened in the kitchen? Because the more I realized how much food affects our heart in a loving way, the more fun it became for me to bring those memories back to people. Like when a relative would say, oh, I remember Thanksgiving dinner, you were 10 years old and you ate all the corn or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. For me to be able to pinpoint a certain meal for somebody that brings them a great memory of something that happened that brought them joy, from that point forward, they're able to relive it again and relive it again because it's new back in their memory again. And I think that with families, I think the lessons that I learn around bringing food into the readings are that families used to do things a lot different, and they would share moments and memories of their daily life around the kitchen table. And I think a lot of the reason that our ancestors bring these conversations back to the forefront is because they want to remind us what a cherished opportunity it is to create new memories and bring a more loving family together by sharing that time around the table. I had a lady say to me the other day, she was somebody's great-grandmother, and she said to this great-grandchild who was in her early 20s, she said something like, you're a fast food society now, but at least bring the fast food home and sit at the table and eat it together. Mm-hmm. She was like, yeah, adapt to what your normalness is, but don't forget to bring the part together where you all sit together, you take some time to be together, and you share.
Indeed.
So I think that's really the ultimate message that they try to convey by bringing food back into the scene. It's like, you know, that you have opportunity for closeness, and in order to keep the family close and in a better frame as a family, utilize that time to eat together in order to have conversation together again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely. A really special time. Yeah.
Yeah. So when and by the way, let me stop here and say, if you're just tuning in, or you're listening live here, first of all, if you're listening live on Blog Talk Radio, if you see the little square that says follow, please click that and follow us if you haven't already. And that helps me to keep bringing fascinating people to you like Janie Beauclair. And also, if you want to call in to speak with Janie or myself or to ask Janie a question, the number is 646-716-9922. 646-716-9922. That's toll-free anywhere in the continental U.S., too. So call in and talk to Janie Beauclair. You can already tell she's just delightful. And and what she likes to do, she likes to assist you, help you by communicating with your loved ones who have passed and connecting with your angels and receiving messages from your spiritual guides through her five sense abilities. So, okay, so now, we talk about food. Now, to me, that's your show, The Clairvoyant Gourmet, your cooking channel.
Well, The Clairvoyant Gourmet is all about channeling recipes from the other side and recreating them. So you'll have a guest on the show, and you do a channeling with them and reach out to their relative
and they want to get a certain recipe, and we get the certain recipe, and then we create it together. So that's the premise of the show, and it's really a lot of fun. You never know what's coming next. So that requires a few things. Converting some old recipes is a bit of a challenge, because a lot of times they'll use things like lard that we don't use anymore. And so it's like, okay, what's going to work best, you know? And it becomes a real interesting challenge to recreate something that tastes like what you remember. But it's a lot of fun that way. I do this at people's houses as well. So people will book a session with me, and I'll go to their home, and they'll have all their family members there, and we'll tune in to, you know, Aunt Betty or whoever, and get the recipe that they're looking for. And they'll have a majority of the ingredients there, because they know ahead of time what recipe they're going to ask for, right? So if it's a pasta, then they have some of the stuff there. And we work through what the recipe is that I'm getting, and then bring it to life, which is a lot of fun, and B, a lot of laughs. turning some of these old time contents of food into something you can actually buy at the store and make is a lot of fun.
Because I would imagine, now that you mentioned that, there are some things that people use. Don't be, I mean, I remember seeing my great grandmother make biscuits with lard and flour.
Right.
And milk, you know, things you would normally, that's just what they did. And, things that you don't necessarily have, or have you ever found something like maybe a certain vegetable or type of meat that someone who had passed over that was unusual for us now?
Well, there was a gentleman, I was doing a show with somebody in Europe, and there was a gentleman there that was looking for a recipe, and I'm probably not even going to say this word right, but it was an animal meat called melts, I think it was, M-E-L-T-Z, something like that. And he said, have you ever heard of it? And I'm like, nope, never heard of it. So it turned out to be organs of a cow, and it was organs that we don't normally cook with. It wasn't liver, or it wasn't anything normal, you know what I mean? And so when the grandmother went through and gave the directions on how to skin this organ and how to cut it and stuff it with vegetables and cook it and blah, 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 it was a challenge for me, because I'd never heard of such a thing. So I'm explaining the whole thing to him, and at the very end he says, that is exactly how I remember it. And I thought, oh, thank goodness. Because I have no clue what you're eating, my friend. Yeah, but it was an old-time meat recipe from Europe. So it just, you know, wasn't familiar.
Whoa.
Very interesting.
Just amazing. So when, you know, then you have this, you've never seen it, never used it, didn't know the word before, but you went with what the spirit told you, and then all of a sudden this, that's just like what grandma used to make. That's it, or whatever.
Yeah, and honestly, I was praying. I was praying I was right with that one, because I had no reference of any kind. But, you know, I learned that along the way, where whoever is channeling or using their intuition or their instinct to communicate, I feel like the most important thing you can do is let whatever comes in your head come out of your mouth. It's the most challenging part, because your brain wants to second guess and say, is that my brain, or am I really hearing that, right? But I really find that if you just let the words come out of your mouth that you're actually getting in your head, 9 times out of 10, the person that you're talking to is going to know exactly what you mean. Exactly what you're talking about, even if it makes zero sense to you. And so that's probably the biggest challenge, I think, for people who are clairvoyant or just learning how to tap into their natural energy resources.
But I think that's also got to be such an exciting feeling. when it all comes through like that and it comes out, that's got to be such a great, like a rush or a buzz or the excitement or that you delivered and you brought somebody's special memory back to them in that dish.
The exciting thing for me is seeing the expression when I do readings in person, is seeing their expression change. I was at a news channel in Tampa. I'm in Florida right now. And so I was at a news station the other day, and I did a reading with one of the hosts, and he says he was raised by his grandmother, and he remembered his grandmother making hundreds of biscuits. And he could remember the taste of them, but he has no idea how to make them. He has four children now, and he'd love them to experience grandma's biscuits. So when I connected to her and started to describe the biscuits, they were flaky, and he could tear off one layer after another, and that was something that he really enjoyed. He's like, yeah, that's right. And I said the top had this buttery flavor on it, and it was just a little bit crispy brown. And as he was agreeing, going, yes, that's exactly how I remember, his energy level was skyrocketing. His eyes were bright, his smile was huge, and his just body language just rose. And for me to see that in him was like, you know, Santa giving a toy to a child at Christmas. It was like, oh, that is so awesome to see him relive even the description of the flavoring of what it tasted like and looked like was enough to bring his heart right back to that space. So those are the moments that really turn me on, that make me excited. Because when I see somebody really coming to life over conversation of a certain meal that somebody made, I mean, it's just an amazing thing. It's totally amazing. And then I'm so grateful that it was me that had the pleasure of connecting that person to someone that they lost. So it's such a win-win in my world.
Yeah, what a gift. Yeah, what a gift to give somebody. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here I'm just imagining what you talk about. Of course, it's making me hungry too. But just listening to you talk about this, it's amazing. So, so let me ask you. So now, what about if you're on the show? I guess you would have a chance ahead of time to talk with somebody. So because you definitely want all the food there. You want all the ingredients.
Well, and when you do a mainstream show, like if I do on a regular TV show that's mainstream that you'd see on TV all the time, then normally what we do is we do the readings the day before. And so we can determine what the food is going to be and how we're going to convert it from, you know, I got one recipe from the 1600s from this lady, and her ancestor was like, oh, I wouldn't know the first thing about what to do with any of this because she didn't know where to get it or how to find it. So sometimes it takes a little time to figure out how to convert it into something you can actually find to cook and make now. So usually we'll do a day before, we'll do the reading and see what messages and comes through in the reading and then decide what's the meal you're going to make and go like that. And that works. That works best, although we've done it on the spot a gazillion times because that's life. But but with some of these real in-depth meals take a little working out. I'll tell you a really interesting reading I had the other day. Somebody wisecrackingly said, so it's Thanksgiving. Have you ever channeled a pilgrim and got Thanksgiving dinner recipe? And I thought, well, I haven't, but I could try. And I did. I took some time at home and I just, you know, burned a little sage and I held on to a little piece of crystal and I said, angels, I would love to talk to somebody to learn the experience of the first Thanksgiving dinner. I would love to know the detail of how it felt to be there. And within like a minute and a half, I got a lady that came through. She called herself Mrs. Clark, and she explained to me that her son and her husband had gone on a hunting trip with a few other guys and gotten to meet, and this was what she was explaining to me was the very first Thanksgiving dinner. And it actually lasted for a week, not just a day. And so I thought that was really interesting. But she gave me full details on what they caught for the food, how the Indians showed up with their spices, what the women and the children all went to get, and how they put this meal together, the blessings that they all gave each other, and the reason for the meal. And it was such a special, special channeling. I literally was chatting with her for over an hour, and she really opened my eyes to how the first Thanksgiving meal actually began. One thing that she said that was so cool, they had a pumpkin, and they took the top off of it, and they took the seeds out, and they filled it with goat milk because they had goats.
Whoa.
And they put the actual pumpkin in the fire because there was no stove, there was no pots and pans, nothing like that. So they put the pumpkin, they set it in the fire, and as the goat milk boiled, and they let it boil for a few minutes, when they took it off and sat the pumpkin next to the fire, it thickened and made this custard that tasted like the pumpkin. And that's how the very first beginning of pumpkin pie was created, by cooking a pumpkin in a fire with goat milk in it.
And they had no idea where this would end up in 2016,
right?
With pumpkin everything.
Yeah, and even the first meal didn't have turkeys either. They had geese, and they had what she called waterfowl, which I'm assuming is duck. And it wasn't until apparently 50 or more years later that turkey came into the scene, and that was because the Pilgrims and the Indians had hunted all the geese and the duck in that whole area that they were living in that whole zone. So then they went to the turkey, because the turkey, there was a million of those. They had been breeding for years, and nobody was eating them. So they went to the turkey after they kind of, you know, hunted out what they preferred for their Thanksgiving meal. So I always found that very interesting.
You know, I always, like a lot of people, I always wonder how things change from what actually happened to the telling and the retelling, the changing of the stories to what we think the story was today. But it's not.
Well, and something cool they said, which I had no idea, and I don't think anybody does this anymore, is the women went to the water while the men were hunting. And this is what took place. This woman's dinner was in Salem, Massachusetts. So she said, while the men went hunting and they were gone for a week, the women went to the shore and they picked clams and mussels, and that the clams and the mussels were the main part of the meal. And the children went into the woods and they got beech nuts and chestnuts. And so they would make beech nut and chestnut chopped up and cook it with the clams and the mussels. But then they also would mince that up and rub it on the meat to cook the meat over the fire. Had nuts all over it. So I thought that was really interesting. Like, wow, I would have never thought of any of that. You know,
seriously.
It's a really cool eye-opener of how it all began. But I have to tell you, the most beautiful part of that whole reading was her saying to me, after the fifth day, when the men came back and the Indians brought them some little baby deer, apparently, and some spices that they had been eating in the woods. They'd been finding these items that we now call spices. And so they brought these spices. And at the end, all the Indians and the Pilgrims held hands, and they all said thank you for the beautiful bounty that had been brought to them. And she said they all prayed to their own gods. And at that moment, it didn't matter what color they were or where they were from. They were all together in one with love. And I thought, what a beautiful thing to say. That was the most precious thing for her, was the love that happened around the table. Sound familiar? While
oh yeah,
you know, while they were feasting together. So very beautiful. That's how the thankfulness came through. The Thanksgiving thankfulness was because they were all expressing their thankfulness for being able to be together, whole as one unit, with no diversity and no, you know, no religion or anything getting in the way, and just loving each other while they ate their meal. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Yes. All right. So we're going to take just a moment here because I have a lovely new sponsor, World Last Week sponsor, and it's Insophobe. Their motto is networking simple. Simple is marketable, but they can tell you about it better than I can. And then just hold on. I'll be back with Janie Beauclair.
Here's a crazy notion. What if online networking and marketing wasn't divided over so many specialized networks or platforms? So why so many options? Specialized or not, the business needs are the same. So wouldn't less specialized and more open be better? Wouldn't one platform with the services and tools for marketing and networking be the easiest and ideal find? And if you found it, wouldn't more businesses, artists, and organizations be more engaging with marketing and network for more business? And wouldn't that mean all sorts of opportunities for more revenue, time, and energy? And wouldn't that extra time and energy further encourage new innovative services or products as a surge of new commerce floods local communities with new enterprises who now must network and market themselves for your business? And isn't that the power of commerce? Anyway, that's the crazy notion.
Check out endsofobe.com.
All right, thanks so much to Insophobe.com, and I've got a link to their website right here on the page on Blog Talk Radio. Now, I'm back here, Madam Perry, with 5C clairvoyant gourmet Janie Beauclair. And Janie, we have a caller. Come on into Madam Perry's salon. How are you?
Hi, doing fine.
Wonderful.
Hi.
And glad to have you here. Introduce yourself to Janie Beauclair.
I'm Robert Taylor. I have a question for Janie.
Hi, Robert. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Robert.
Hi. I'm just curious to know, when you first became aware of your psychic abilities, I mean, were you a small child, or how did that come about?
I was pretty aware early on. Like, I knew that I was connecting to far more than just the humans that were sitting in front of me. And my first memory of really knowing was about 6 years old. My mom used to say I talked to my imaginary friends. Well, my imaginary friends were on the other side. and I was very aware that I had people that I was talking to that other people weren't really communicating with. But I didn't know that it was a singular thing. I didn't know that other people didn't do that too. I assumed everybody had their own friends they talked to on the other side. But yeah, I do remember it quite young. And once I realized in my early teens and you know, early 20s to exactly what degree, then I started looking back at my childhood and a lot more things made sense to me. Different knowledge that I had. Now, I get the feeling that you're intuitive.
Well, I did work for a psychic hotline at one time, years ago.
Okay. Yeah, because I definitely feel like you have the ability to connect in a different manner on your own. I feel like you definitely are fully aware there.
Did your was your mother alarmed or your parents alarmed when she became aware of your abilities to speak with those or to communicate with those on the other side? Was
you know,
she
really,
afraid?
She was not at all, because she and my grandmother both, I believe, were also clairvoyant. Because my mother would do things like predict things. She'd say, Janie, don't go to the movies tonight. You're going to get in a car accident on your way home. And don't you know, I'd go to the movies and I'd get in a car accident on the way home. So looking back at all the different things that my mother predicted, if you will, I think that she was very clairvoyant, and though therefore it didn't alarm her at all. It felt very comfortable for her. And I also feel like my grandmother as well had that ability. So, and I think that's why they weren't alarmed, you know, that's why they let me be me and didn't, you know, take me to a psychiatrist or anything. They just let me work.
The people, do the people who know you, are they constantly asking about those on the other side, their departed loved ones? And do you ever get tired of it?
I never get tired of it because it's something new all the time. It's always a new adventure. I'm a type A personality, which means I like to have things going on all the time. And so something happening, something new, something hopping, that's my world of comfort. So for me, being able to channel, this is right up my alley because it's something new all the time. It's never the same experience twice. It's never the same conversation. Even if it's speaking to the same person over and over, it's always a different conversation. So
those who have departed are as interesting as they always have been during their lifetimes.
Yes, and more so, because now they have wisdom from the other side. And so they are more interesting than they used to be. But it's interesting my friends don't ask me much at all. They're more fascinated by what I tell them. Stories of other people's readings than they want to know their own stuff. So I always find that really interesting because if I had a friend like this, I'd be bugging him to death. I'd be asking all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But no, it doesn't seem to work that way. It's more of they want to hear, you know, what readings did you do this week or what did you learn? I have one friend that says to me, every single time I talk to you, I learn something new about history. And that's his fascination, is the historic side of things that come through different readings. And, you know, I always keep readings private because I don't want to share somebody else's, you know, family business. But there's always some type of beautiful historic thought that comes when I'm done with the reading of a reason why this reading came through in this method for this person. And, you know, with the food part of it, it's all about connecting them to get back to a family love situation, which is the overall, you know what I mean?
Right. There are probably a couple of people that I know that have departed, and I probably really wouldn't want to know what they think of me. Oh, that guy. No.
Well, I can tell you I'm not getting any bad vibes for you at all, so I think you're safe.
Oh, well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
So. I got to tell you, Janie, I didn't recognize the number when he called, but I do know Robert Taylor, and he is a fascinating author and playwright. And
beautiful.
So I don't know why I never picked up on any intuitive sensitivity in you, Robert.
I think a lot of writers probably have a small degree of that ability, you know, because it's I don't know, it probably goes with the territory, I suppose, because, you know, you're always trying to get into characters' heads and so forth.
Well,
maybe by virtue of that.
Robert, you'll appreciate this, Robert. My mother had a conversation with me one time. I got into musical theater in high school. And that was to be an outlet for all of the stories that I was telling with all the conversations from the other side. So if I got into theater, I could act out and act up and be as out there as I wanted to be. And she felt like that was a way for me to vent, if you will, is be in the theater. And it made total sense, and I loved it. So it was a really good plan for me. But, definitely, I felt like there was a lot of intuitive people in the theater world. I still feel that way, a lot of actors in that, because you are channeling some type of personality when you're creating those roles. You know, you're definitely tuning into something in order to get those thoughts and feel those emotions that you're writing about.
Yeah.
So I definitely feel like you're incredibly intuitive. I think that if you gave yourself permission, is the phrase I'm getting, you would be channeling on your own with no problem whatsoever. But I think there's a little fear factor that's blocking you, and you're going,
yeah.
I don't think I want to know. You're going.
Right. So, well, I just I was very curious about those questions, and, you know, I think it's a fascinating ability that you have. And to me, I would be a little fearful. But you
that's
seem
what
to
I was
be,
stealing from you.
Yeah, you seem to be fearless going into the unknown and the other
yeah,
side.
Well, you know, I did have some crazy experiences at certain points in being clairvoyant, but I also learned that I could regulate what I was allowing spirit to give me and what I was not going to allow spirit to give me. As in,
right.
I'll give you a crazy little example here. At one point in my life, every time I would go to bed, there would be a line of 15 or 20 children's faces popping through the wall in my bedroom. And
oh
they
my
would
God.
Be screaming at the top of their lungs, help me, help me, help me. But I could
well,
never figure out.
Well, that would be a little
out.
Off-putting.
It was. It was tough. And it was a few weeks of that. And
my
it was
would
a,
kill me.
An energy. Yeah, right? It was an energy transition that was happening is what I learned later. But
wow.
the thing that was the worst for me is they would never say how to help them or what was wrong. So what
yeah.
I learned later was that I could say, okay, spirit, I'm more than happy to share beautiful, loving stories of guidance with whoever you want, but I'm not willing to take on anyone who wants to hurt me or scare me or wants to cause fear or pain in the person I'm speaking to.
Right.
And ever since that day, I've never had children pop in. I've never had any kind of a fearful anything come through. So I really
wow.
just had to declare this is what I will accept and this is what I will not. And what I've learned in talking to other mediums is that's what they all do in order to protect themselves. And so
and it works.
But it does work. It does, surprisingly. I mean, I
yeah, that's
what
I'd be afraid of. I'd be afraid I'd attract all kinds of evil entities into
yeah,
my home.
And, that's
and then
totally possible. Yeah. But
I know. And Robert.
Yourself.
Uh-huh.
And Robert, I think you may have read some of my essays about what a freak magnet I am. I'd be thinking, you know, I attract too many wackos in real life. I wouldn't know to do better. But now, but it sounds much safer now. It sounds much safer the way Janie does on the other side. No, I'm not going to have that come in. No, nothing like that.
Right.
And while
yeah,
you're
you
with me,
set
Robert,
your boundaries.
I've got another couple of questions. And Robert, I think you might be interested in the answer to these as well. And by the way, if you're listening, the number to call is 646-716-9922. And you can always learn about Janie at clairvoyantgourmet.com. But the question I have, and Robert, stay with me, is can you explain, and this is because, you know, because of your work as a clairvoyant and also as a clairvoyant gourmet, can you explain, is there a correlation between food and chakras?
There is absolutely. Something that I discovered along the way through doing all these types of readings, food related, there were a number of people that would ask me, can you ask my relative if there's something that I can eat or if there's something I shouldn't be eating to change the way I feel? So they were looking for medical advice, how to fix different things like Crohn's disease or stomach infections or just a variety of stomach digestive type of issues. And so I was starting to get all kinds of feedback like that, and it made me curious. And so I really started researching scientifically to see what is the correlation between food and your chakras and energy. And what I learned, and this is like you can find this online all day long in depth of the detail of how real this is. Your chakras are, there's seven chakra systems in your body. There's several outside of your body as well. But the ones that are inside your body, they start at your pelvis area and they go to the top of your head. Well, each of them has a different energetic color. The color is related to food color that you eat. And the food color and the color of your chakra together, when you eat in harmony to please that chakra, those chakras each work with individual organs and systems in your body. So literally, your root chakra is the one at the base of your spine. If you're having trouble with your reproductive organs, adrenal glands, and a variety of different things, you can see on my website, I have it all broken down for you. If you're having trouble with certain body parts that aren't functioning well, you can find the chakra that's closest associated to that body part in what the chakra helps to repair. And you can eat food specifically to have that chakra clear out its energy, any sick energy, any things that are not healed. And as a result of that, when all your chakras in your body are clear of negativity and sickness and bad energy and things like that, which you can clear through eating certain things, well, then your energy systems all work together and you can connect through spirit better. Your brain can better receive the intellect that you're getting from the other side with clarity. So there's a whole pattern. Yeah, it's amazing. It's fascinating to me. So if you're having trouble, like the other day somebody called me and they said, I'm having a lot of trouble sleeping. And so when I looked at the chakra associated, I said, I feel like you have headaches in the front of your head. And they feel like they're tension headaches. And she said, yes, exactly. And I said, well, if you look at the chakra at the top of your head, the crown chakra, and you look at your third eye chakra, which is right between your eyebrows, those two work together in harmony with your brain. And the foods that those two like are things like your the top of your head, the crown chakra, likes all things that are white. So it likes garlic and it likes parsnip and potatoes and anything that you can think of that is white. And then the third eye likes things like chocolate, dark chocolate. And so when you put some of these things together in combination, you can literally get rid of your headache by what you eat. Chocolate and coffee were two of the top things for that zone for that young lady. So if you look at what parts of your body your chakras are connected to, and then you match that to the color of the food that the color of the chakra is, you literally can heal your body, change what's happening in your body, however you want to say it. You can make changes in your body that affect the way you feel. And at the same time, you get the extra bonus of being able to connect to spirit just as a default, because now your body and your mind is clear of problems and issues.
Well, what if it's a food item that you absolutely hate and that's the most beneficial for you? You eat it anyway,
In every category, there are literally hundreds of food items. So there's not just like one thing for one chakra. There are literally hundreds. When I was putting these together on the website, you'll see what I did was I put probably, 8 or 10 examples of different foods that go with those organs and those colors. And I specifically picked a variety of oddball stuff so that people could really see, oh, wow, I never eat this. I never would have thought of that. But I can see now that it makes me think about other things that are white. You know, honestly, when I first thought white food, what is that? You know, and then you start digging deep. There's onions. I mean, there's all kinds of white food when you start looking for it, you know. And you can literally
vanilla ice cream comes to mind for me.
Vanilla... The vanilla bean is actually brown, so that actually would help with a headache.
I like it.
Since I started digging into this years ago, I've seen online all kinds of studies and tests where people have not done chemotherapy but done a full chakra eating routine in order to get rid of like funky and bad disease in their body. And so there's really something to it. And you can make it, I've also learned that you can feed all 7 chakras in a normal day without having to eat crazy food, just in your normalness. but it's putting combinations together for specific organs. So it's
I'm going to have to check that out on your website.
Yes, yeah, it's pretty cool. It was fascinating for me. It was an eye-opener, and it made me just shift a tiny little bit the way I was eating things, not really what I was eating, but in what order I was eating them. And literally, when I started doing this, I noticed that I was losing a lot of weight, and I didn't even try, and I didn't really need to. It was my body was regulating itself now that I was eating for my organs and my chakras, and naturally it brought me to the weight that my body is naturally supposed to be at.
So that alone would make it worthwhile for me.
Exactly,
oh,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, Tyler. That's what I would like.
That's what Jennifer's talking about. All right, ladies. I'm going to run, but it was very nice
Thank
talking
you,
to you. It was very, very enjoyable and very enlightening.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate you calling in.
Okay,
Thanks
Jennifer.
Thanks for calling, Robert.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What a sweetheart.
Awesome playwright, Rob Taylor. Oh, he is. He is. He's just a wonderful guy. So if we go to your, and you know, you're talking about this now with what you were just saying about eating for your chakras and the types of foods and how much better it made your body feel. And it sort of, it seems like, you know, if you have a car, you're careful what you put in it, what kind of gas, what kind of oil, what you do, and, you know, how you care for it. And yet
and
our bodies are a magnificent machine.
Certain engines require certain types of oil, and you can't just put any oil into any car, right? Sometimes
right.
it's 20 weight, sometimes it's 30 weight, sometimes it's got extra stuff in it, doesn't have any stuff in it. It's the same kind of thing. So you go by, you know, what is your body feeling like? And I'll tell you, our brains are so smart, they will tell us exactly what is sick in our body or what needs a boost. You might not be sick at all. You might need, your immune system could use an extra boost, or your, you know, your weight could shift a little bit, and it'll, your brain will tell you when you sit and say, okay, brain, tell me what to do for my body to put my body in an, you know, ultimate health state. You'll be surprised at all the things that come into your brain.
I like it. Janie, we have another caller with us.
Wonderful.
And I know, welcome to Madame Perry's Salon. Please come in and introduce yourself.
Hi. Hi, this is Andrea in California.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi. Yeah. Hey, how are you doing, guys? So anyway, so good to talk to you. This is really fascinating to me, and I was just on your website a minute ago, Janie, and I was looking at the Feed My Chakras and all the different colors.
Uh-huh.
And it did, was like a light bulb went off in my head that it is actually so obvious. The universe has left all these signs, and
right?
we're just not seeing them.
That's exactly
it kind of explains,
how I felt.
Yeah,
it explains
I was
a
like,
lot, doesn't it?
Explains a lot. It explains why I suddenly started eating mushrooms. I've never cared about them before, but it's a white
yep.
food.
Another white
yeah.
one.
yeah. So
yeah.
I wondered if there's a reason why you think so many people have kind of eating disorders. They either don't eat enough or they eat too much or they're not okay. Is this because family memories in the kitchen? What do you think?
Well, I think there's a variety of answers for that. And it's, you know, obviously it's different with everybody. Society has a lot to do with it because people have gotten away from taking care of themselves and have learned to feed pain with food and have learned to go to things that are, you know, what they call comfort food as opposed to healthy foods. So I think that it's become a way of life in our day and age to not so much pay attention to what you're putting in your body as opposed to how you feel and what boo-boo it fixes. Do you see what I mean?
Mm.
And I think that's more of a mental thing than it is a physical thing. You know, depression and things of that nature that cause those kind of behaviors. Now, on the other side of that, though, you have a very health-conscious, community as well. And the health conscious community is very aware of the value of eating for your chakras and the value of feeding certain organs, certain food. So I really think it depends on what side of the track you were raised and what knowledge did you get growing up that stuck with you, and what are you learning today about how to change things that are going on in your body. But I've definitely learned that the value of food in relationship to a non-sick body is critical, because an unhealthy food going in creates a lot of issues in the body. And when I say unhealthy, it doesn't necessarily mean ice cream, because ice cream is not unhealthy. Overdoing ice cream, you know, 10 times a day, every single day, different story, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, you can eat potato chips. Potato chips are made of potatoes. Potatoes are white. Salt is white. Those aren't problems unless you way overdo them. And that's when the obesity and, you know, those other extremes come through. So it's really just analyzing. First of all, I love that you said now you understand why you suddenly started eating mushrooms. Because for me, I suddenly started eating raspberries about 3 years ago, and now I can't get enough of them. But I completely get it in relationship to what my body functions are like. You know, it makes total sense when I look at those organs and what I'm now eating. It's like my brain automatically reset itself for me to eat the things to take care of the organs that needed a little extra boost.
Wow, that is profound, and it kind of underlines that I believe that our bodies know what to do if we don't block the information. But I'm learning it. This is just deepening my understanding so much, and I want to thank you for that. It's been awesome.
Oh, my pleasure. You know, and that's how it was for me. And this is why I wanted to put it on my website so people could start wrapping their head around it, because I had such an aha moment when I first heard and figured this out and discovered these things on my own. You know, I didn't have anybody coaching me or teaching me, so I just kind of like flailed through it and figured it all out. But what I learned was just an amazing, wow, this really works. This really changes things. And so for me, it just made it imperative that I share what I learned so that people like you can wrap their heads around it.
And we're glad you did. Janie, can you tell us, are you sensing anything as far as spirit around Andrea, or spirits of her loved ones that have passed on, or anything else?
Well, I definitely get a variety of spirit. There's a whole variety of people hanging out there. Are you looking for someone in particular?
I know my mom's been here a lot lately.
Yes, definitely.
She passed away in 2010.
Yeah, and she comes through saying, hello, darling.
Yeah.
And I get her very soft and very loving. She seems like she was just a very gentle, gentle lady. She definitely is here. And also, there's two other ladies with her. It definitely
feels
like...
I'm just thinking my aunt.
It would be her sister, right?
Yes, that's exactly who I was thinking.
Yeah, because I'm getting her sister, and then there's another one that's older. So this is either her mother or her grandmother. Definitely feels very close in relation to the two girls. They're all smiling, so big and pretty. Oh, that's really beautiful. Is there anything you wanted to ask them at all?
God, probably so many things, but I just want to let them know how much I appreciate them. And I appreciate them being there.
Know that they are always around you, your mom and your aunt particularly. I see, they show me that their energy is constantly around you, giving you support. They are definitely always lifting you up. They show me that they're holding hands and their arms are around you, as in like one's on the front of you, one's on the back of you, and they're holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
So they have you completely surrounded in their beautiful energy. And your mom is also, this could be a little personal, but so I'm going to just say this delicately. She's saying, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
She wants you to keep your chin up.
That
and for
cool.
you to understand that this is a very small speed bump in life, she's saying. Does that make
Perfect.
Sense to you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think that the last day or so I've begun to realize it and free myself from some emotional baggage.
Yes.
Because it's something I'm going through, and I suddenly realize why I'm going through it. And I think it's great that she's letting me know that she's there.
She's totally there,
yeah.
and she's
yeah.
really supporting you and wants you to know that she is there, as in she sees and she hears exactly what you're going through, and she's there with you, okay?
Yeah.
She's supporting you 1,000%. She is saying
that
for you to
wonderful.
Talk to her more often. She would like you to
okay.
chat with her more often. She
oh,
says she
tell
can
her
help
I'd be
you.
Happy to.
She can help you if you
Good.
Tell her how
oh, great.
To help you. So
oh,
she says,
thank you.
Let her know what you need.
Okay.
And she will put
cool.
the right energy around you to make those things happen for you.
Thank you. That is great. That's a relief. Thank you so
Absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. Such a pleasure.
Fantastic.
Beautiful, beautiful family.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And
thank you,
Madam Perry.
You're welcome, my dear. This is one of my
darling
favorite
friend. Oh,
and Madame Terry Salon. She is,
all right,
she is a dear. But all right, thank you. And I was going to say, I'm saying you're a dear, but Janie already knows that. So
yes.
We're coming to the end of the show. We're over time, but I want to thank you again so much to Andrea and to Robert for calling in tonight. Janie Beauclair, your website, clairvoyantgourmet.com. She is also a fabulous singer. And let me tell you, when I looked up Janie singing, YouTube, her singing, she's got a crap. I don't know where this place was, but there were hundreds and hundreds of people. And when she sang, they all jumped up and sang with her and danced and all. And I thought, man, this woman, that's why I say this woman is much beloved. And so you've got a heart and soul that people feel is very sincere and honest and loving toward them, Janie. And I am just so grateful. If you want to know more about Insafabi, my sponsor, but and also if you want to know more about Janie Beauclair, I've got links to both of them here on this page and on my Madame Perry Salon page on Facebook. I've been tweeting about Janie Beauclair, and I've even put her on Reddit, Google Plus, Pinterest. Where else have I been put? Where else have you seen it? I put her on every kind of social media, LinkedIn, everything I've got a hold of. And I'm just so proud to have had you here in Madame Perry's salon. Thank you
Thank you so much.
It
was such a privilege to be here with you, darling, and share with your friends. I really appreciate that.
Oh, thank you so much, dear. Have a wonderful holiday.
Goodbye, thank you.